waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at Breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6, telling jokes on aeroplanes, the best place for a wee, and let's celebrate the magic of the genius that is Jeremy Clarkson. But before that, let's get the news. Here's Chris Blakemore.
Thank you, Ian. And Malala Yousafzai, the Pakistani teenager who campaigns for girls' rights to education, has been awarded this year's Nobel Peace Prize. At 17, she's the youngest ever winner of the prestigious award and is now based in Birmingham after being shot by the Taliban in her home country. Councillor Wasim Zafar from Birmingham City Council has told BBC WM's Danny Kelly it's a massive honour for her.
This isn't really about Malala, this isn't really about Birmingham, but the issue itself, children's education, in particular education for young girls in places like Pakistan and other third world developing countries, isn't there. So this will give that particular issue a huge boost, that the world recognises this is an issue and recognises people that are campaigning for that.
And we'll be hearing from Malala Yousafzai on Drive Time with Richard Wilford later on this afternoon here on BBC WM. The UK Independence Party leader Nigel Farage has predicted more defections and claimed his party could hold the balance of power in the next parliament following victory in yesterday's by-election in Clacton. The party now has its first seat at Westminster after the former Conservative Douglas Carswell won for UKIP by more than 12,000 votes. In another contest in Greater Manchester, UKIP came within just over 600 votes of taking the seat from Labour. The Prime Minister David Cameron said the next general election would be the most important for a generation.
If you vote UKIP, you're in danger of getting a Labour government with Ed Miliband as Prime Minister, Ed Balls as Chancellor, and you'll get no action on immigration, no European referendum, and obviously, most importantly, you won't get a continuation of the plan that's delivering success for our economy and security for our people.
The World Health Organization says it expects to see another 10,000 cases of Ebola despite what it describes as the tremendous escalation of international support in recent weeks. A spokesman said there were only about a quarter of the beds needed for patients in the three worst affected countries, Guinea, Sierra Leone and Liberia. An emergency response team offering on-the-spot assessments for people with mental illness will be available across the Black Country by the end of the year. The scheme follows a successful pilot in January by West Midlands Police. It was the first time officers teamed up with psychiatric nurses to answer calls from people with mental health problems. Jackie Morris from Tipton's son, Don, has battled schizophrenia. She's been speaking to BBC WM today.
It was upsetting to watch him rock in fear and hide behind sofas and under blankets. But now Don hears his voices and he laughs at them. He knows the ones he's in fear of, but he'll put his headphones on, he puts his music on, he'll go to sleep.
And the company which provides water for most of the West Midlands is cutting 500 jobs. Severn Trent, which employs 6,000 people across the UK, says it's making the changes because of internal restructuring. The firm says it's looking to lose the roles from its management and support departments. And the weather. Plenty of sunny spells during the rest of the day, but there will also be a few heavy and maybe thundery showers. Highs 16 Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit. Showers dying away tonight. Quite chilly though. Tomorrow will be a mixture of sunny spells and showers with highs for Saturday 15 Celsius, 59 Fahrenheit. Sunday dry with sunny spells. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
Ian Lee
on BBC WM
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Thesby Avenue afternoon. It's a very, very busy show. So shall we crack on? We're talking later on about this. I've tweeted it at Ian Lee. Go and have a look. It's a cracking story. There was a gentleman on an aeroplane. He sneezed and he went, "Oh, excuse me, I think I've got Ebola." When the plane landed, he was escorted off the plane by four people in the full body suits. You know, like the astronaut space suits. A few things spring off the back of that. When have you made inappropriate jokes? Is it ever appropriate to joke on aeroplanes? And is it appropriate to make jokes about Ebola? I'm going to need you to be honest on this one. This is one of those ones where I'm sure we go, "Oh, it's disgusting," but I need you to be honest. 03453 009956. That's coming up later. You can call about it now. Another thing we'll be talking about later on There are some students who are suggesting that we should take our first wee-wee of the morning in the shower. Pourquoi, you ask, if you're French? Well, because it supposedly saves water. We'll save however many fluid ounces of water by not flushing the toilet. I think it makes sense. There will be some people who will poo-poo weeing in the shower. There's an unfortunate choice of words, isn't there? There will be some people who think that having a wee in the shower is bad. The bath, possibly, unless you're my youngest, in which case it's de rigueur. The bath hasn't started until someone's done a winkle in there. But the shower, we've all done it, haven't we? As producer Joe said, there are two types of people, those who wee in the shower and liars. 03453 00956, also your best place to have a tinkle. But first cab off the rank this afternoon. By the way, there's a fellow called Ray that's been phoning up BBC WM at least for most of today, if not all of this week. He's upset that I don't like Kate Bush. He's upset that I don't like Kate. But Ray, if you want to come on and have a chat about it, fella, I'll set you straight on a few things. 03453 00956. But, Jeremy Clarkson is in the papers again. He was in trouble last week for driving what's that place? Argentina. With some number plates that supposedly made an oblique reference to the Falklands War. Well, now he's in the papers because that know-all do-gooder, Damon Albarn, who, let's be honest, has only written two good songs. Oh, he didn't write Coffee and TV. He's only written one good song. What was the first Blur hit? There's no other way. There's no other way. Was that them or was that Ride? Ah, the Great Baggy Wars of the early 90s. That's the only good song Blur did, right? And he's been milking it forever since. Well, he was in Argentina saying, sorry, Argentina, Clarkson isn't... Oh, not a very nice word. Well, come on, for goodness sakes. Jeremy Clarkson has got to be, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, dear listener, you can phone me up to back me up. Jeremy Clarkson is one of the best televisual talents this country has ever produced. He's up there with Jonathan Ross and Hancock. This guy makes more money for the BBC than anything else. He owns the Top Gear brand, which is the most exported television programme of all time. He's funny, he's erudite, he's clever, he knows how to wind people up, he knows how to soothe people, he entertains all generations, he's written books. How many books have you written, Damon Albarn? Let's find out if Damon Albarn's written any books before I pick him in on that point too much. 03 453 00956. Isn't it time we stopped the Jeremy Clarkson knocking and instead paraded him atop our shoulders towards Buckingham Palace, where we insist Her Majesty makes him a sir? He's Britain's greatest talent. Jeremy Clarkson, genius. Discuss. 03453 00956. There can't be anybody listening today who will disagree with Clarkson being a genius. it's official, Damon Albarn has written no books. That's no books for Albarn. Just to clarify, Jeremy Clarkson has written, what, loads of books? Damon Albarn has written no books. What right has he got to slag off Britain's greatest television performer? John's in Sheldon. Afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Ian.
He's a genius, isn't he, Clarkson?
He's a clown.
Well, yeah, OK, but yeah. He doesn't... So Ronald McDonald's a clown. He's also a genius.
Yeah, this is the man that, for cheap publicity, knocks Birmingham just for cheap publicity.
What did he say?
Go down very well.
What did he say about Birmingham?
He's continually knocking Birmingham. I don't bother reading about him. He's continually knocking Birmingham.
What's he said about Birmingham, John?
He runs it down about the city.
But what has he?
All sorts of routes up.
But what has he said? What has he said though, John?
Oh, I haven't got it at hand at the moment. I just don't bother reading him.
Well, yeah, if you don't read him,
you're talking about a knighthood.
Yeah. So Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah. Well, the person, in my opinion, who hasn't got a knighthood and should have a knighthood, is Ken Dodd.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Now, Ken Dodd is the greatest entertainer this country's ever produced.
Has he paid? But did he pay his tax in the end?
Hang on a minute. What tax?
Exactly. That's what he said when they came knocking on his door.
Hang on a second. In this country, you're innocent until proven guilty, and Ken Dodd was charged with tax evasion. He stood trial at Crown Court in front of judge and his jury, and they unanimously found him not guilty.
Well, then
so
good
what tax you on about?
Well, then good for him. Yeah. Listen, Mark.
Yes, sir. Say
hello to John, because, Mark, you quite like Jeremy Clarkson, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I've liked him for years, I have. I mean, thing is, I think what a lot of people don't like about him is the fact that he says what people think. He's not afraid to do it.
John's not a fan of him because he keeps slagging off Birmingham, although John can't give me any exact quotes.
Well, I mean, I think what he does slag Birmingham off from time to time, fair enough. But I think with the job that he does and what he's interested in with the cars and stuff, referring to British Labour, Longbridge and stuff, and I think, to be honest, I mean, I'm probably going to get slated for this, but they did churn out some comfortable rubbish from there.
British Leyland turned... Well, no, fair play, they did churn out some rubbish cars.
Yeah. But, I know he has a knock at Birmingham, but the thing is, it's not just Birmingham. He has a gentle knock at other places as well, you know. So, I mean, it's not just us he singles out.
John, you see, he has a pop at everyone.
Yeah, well, it's not fair, to be quite honest.
Why is it not fair?
If I've got a problem with Birmingham, I talk to the people directly to get it put right. That's the councillors and MPs.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Where's your radio station?
Where's your sense of humour, John?
Well, I don't think that's a good sense of humour, Jeremy Clarkson. Sorry, mate.
Here's the quote.
I'll put him in the same bracket as Chubby Brown.
Here's the quote that you don't remember, John, that Clarkson said. There are signs directing you away from Birmingham, but nothing enticing you in. Oh, come on, you're big enough to take that, John.
I don't like them slagging this city.
Mark, you're not offended by that.
He's not doing it just in Birmingham. No, nationwide.
I'm a Brummie born and bred.
Yeah.
I mean, always have been. Yeah, I mean, you know, but it's humour. It doesn't mean anything deliberately by it, surely. I mean, it's just, like I said, he has a knock at other people. It's not just Birmingham. So, if you just take it as a bit of light-hearted banter...
Beautiful.
I presume you're a Villa supporter, then, if you've been...
I don't follow football at all. I've got no interest in football whatsoever.
John, where's the best place you've ever had a wee-wee?
Pardon? Best place I've ever had a wee-wee? In the closet.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. We won't go any further with that. Thank you. 03453 009956. Why are we talking about it? He's in the papers, Clarkson. This time it's has-been singer Damon Albarn, singer with Blur and the Gorillaz. It was speaking to fans at a gig in Buenos Aires and said, sorry for Clarkson's behaviour, describing the recent number plate scandal as not cool, man. Yeah, man, it's not cool. Clarkson and his team were forced to flee the country last week after locals were incensed by the H982 FKL, 1982 Falklands. You see what they've done there? But I think that Jeremy Clarkson is a genius. And yes, we should knight him. 03453 009956. Chris Goffey is a motoring journalist, former Top Gear presenter. Morning, Chris. Afternoon, Chris.
Evening.
Yeah, yes, see you next week. Your thoughts on Clarkson. Is he a genius or is he a muppet?
The programme has done incredibly well, and it's earned the BBC, which pays your salary, a huge amount of money over the years. They've done fantastically well right across the world in different markets, yes. So from that point of view, the programme has done exceptionally well.
But Jeremy Clarkson himself, he does upset people, doesn't he?
Well, that's a deliberate part of the programme. Don't forget when... I was presenting Top Gear. It was a half-hour motoring program out of Pebble Mill, and we used to, you know, we tested and reported on cars.
Well, it used to be about cars, didn't it?
It was a factual program.
Yeah.
Today's Top Gear is very much an entertainment program, so it's changed concept dramatically. You know, for my taste, Jeremy is too. It's a bit jingoistic. It's a bit laddish. Aren't we all having great fun? You know, Union Jack Spitfires over the White Cliffs of Dover, and that sort of aspect of it. I think does go too far. I can't believe they went all the way to Argentina, especially the south of Argentina, without planning to have a dig about the Falklands War.
Of course they were going to. And you're right. You know what? It's not my kind of humour either, if I'm being completely honest. That kind of laddish, you know, you're right, waving the Union flag. But I do admire him and respect him for what he's achieved, the success he's had. I mean, he's been so successful.
Yeah, nobody can argue with the success of the programme. And, you know, and it's not just Jeremy. I mean, obviously his co-hosts have done just as good a job and have put their own personalities into the programmes as well. As I say, you know, very much an entertainment programme and a hugely successful one. And you can't really argue with that. I think they fundamentally underestimated how raw the emotions are down in that part of Argentina. Yeah. I went down to the Falklands Islands to make some videos for the Ministry of Defence on the airbase and on Port Stanley. And I was there for, 14 days. And emotions run very, very high down there, and I don't think we quite realise, how bitter the feelings are. A lot of people died in that war, wasn't, it wasn't our brave lads waving the flag and didn't we do well. The number of, young sailors who died on the Belgrano, the number of Argentinian young troops who were untrained and underarmed who died actually in the fighting... You know, that feeling runs pretty deep in that southern part of Argentina.
Do you think in this stunt that he may have gone too far?
I think it was going a bit far. I think you can joke about the Second World War and, you know, things like that, and, as I say, the Spitfires and things. I was talking about this to some German friends, funny enough, a couple of weeks ago. Oh, yeah. I was talking about Top Gear, and I said, does it offend you? And they said, oh, no, we think it's very funny, and it doesn't, you know, isn't it good? And then he said, but listen, who owns the British motor industry now? And you have to say, yes, you own Bentley and Rolls-Royce and everything else. That, you know, BMW owns the Mini. And so we can't be too sort of jokey about that. It's not as simple as the programme sometimes tries to make out.
Chris, I appreciate your time. That's Chris Goffey, motoring journalist, former Top Gear presenter, 03453 009956. Jeremy Clarkson. He's a genius, isn't he?
In fact, it's Be Rude to Molly Day. Which is fine, because lots of people on the text are commenting just to how pap my piano playing skills are. Was it the Birdie song?
Oh, yeah.
Says George.
Was it?
No. Come on, Johnny, it's not that bad.
Is it Ross Abbott with Atmosphere?
Molly Green.
Saturdays, 6 till 9, BBC WM.
95.6.
Clarkson is a genius, isn't he, Matt? And we should celebrate him.
No.
Oh.
Definitely not.
Tom, what's your beef with Clarkson, Matt?
Well, my beef with Clarkson is that I've met up with Clarkson. I know that whatever they do at the end of the day, and you see them spinning round the track.
Yeah.
It's the biggest load of crap you've ever come across.
What do you mean?
They are not there.
Yeah, of course they're there. You see them there.
I know, I've been there. Look at when they did that 24-hour race
yeah.
at Silverstone, right? couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Where were they?
They were in the car driving the cars, mate.
They were in there driving the cars, and where did they come?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
That, well...
What's your point, Matt? I'm confused. You are as well.
My point is...
Yes.
Is that Jeremy Clarkson...
Yes.
He might adapt himself to a lot younger people that think that he's doing... And he's wonderful and he does this and he goes to America and he abuses people.
Yeah.
Left, right and centre.
Makes a lot of money for it, yeah.
And he gets a lot of money. Is that how you earn money?
Sounds like you're jealous, man.
Is that how you really earn money?
It sounds like you're jealous, man.
No, I'm not jealous.
It sounds like it.
No, I'm not jealous.
It sounds like it.
On the basis that Jeremy Clarkson, he's just doing something... Pretty much the same as Jeremy Carr.
Jeremy Carr?
You know, you...
Who?
Kyle.
Jeremy Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so he goes out and he's utilising and abusing people to... If you think that he needs a knighthood, you need to think again.
Have a listen to this, Matt. This is Chris on Twitter. He says, Clarkson for Prime Minister. Very witty and
Clarkson? The Prime Minister.
Very witty and a very dry sense of humour. I met him in the Cotswolds once. Very nice bloke to chat to. And I bet, do you know what? I bet he's a lovely bloke.
The base circuits.
What, did you have a chat with him?
I've spoke to him. I spoke to him on the basis that I think he's a complete idiot.
Hang on a minute. So you went up to him. Did you tell him you thought he was an idiot?
Yeah.
How
I
rude
told
of you.
Him he's a complete idiot.
How rude of you.
On the basis that I was racing there on that circuit weekend.
Matt, you've just done what you've accused Clarkson of doing. You've abused a man for no reason. You've abused a man for working.
Yeah, because no.
Did you go up to him and say, excuse me, mate, I think you're an idiot?
Yeah, he's an idiot.
But did you go up to him and say, excuse me, mate, I think you're an idiot?
Why has he been accused for several things that he's done?
Did you go up to a man you'd never met before and said, excuse me, mate, I think you're an idiot?
Yeah.
So, Matt, I'm going to...
I do go out and race
on a regular basis. So rude. So, Matt, thank you. By the way, Matt, where's the best place you've had a wee-wee?
Well, obviously in the right place.
Thank you very much indeed, Matt. We'll be talking about that later on. But you can't go up to a bloke you've never met before. Trust me, because I've had people do it to me and go, excuse me, Matt, I just want to say I think you're an idiot. Where are the manners in that, Matt? That you're doing what you're accusing Clarkson of doing. 03453 009956 81333. Start your text WM. Right, let's get the travel news now. Here's Adam Crowther.
The M42 southbound exit slip at junction 5 at Solihull and Knoll at the A41. There's a lane block there due to an accident that's awaiting recovery, so expect a bit of disruption. The M5 northbound from junction 6 at Worcester to 5 at Droit, which is slow through the roadworks. And a little further north, junction 1 at West Brom up towards the M6 link is slowing. Then it eases onto the M6 past junction 9 at Wensbury up towards 10A. Then it busies again to the roadworks up towards junction 12 at Cannock. Busy through Cradley Heath, Forge Lane is under a set of temporary lights at Newpool Road as works continue just near to the bus station. And High Street and Dudley Town Centre is closed as a burst water main between Union Street and Stone Street causing delays near to Barclays. Through Birmingham City Centre, a little busy already around the Five Ways Island onto the Hagley Road and the A41 Soho Road through Handsworth stop start. And if you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel on 08453 00288.
Adam?
Yes?
Ever done a wee in your car?
Not in my car. No.
You say that as though you've done it somewhere else unusual.
Well, not unusual.
Okay.
Usual kind of places like the sea.
The sea?
Yeah, when you're having a swim in the sea.
You did a wee-wee in the CC?
In the CC, yes.
Did you? I have never done that.
Well, you should try it sometime.
I will do. Where's the nearest seaside from here?
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
What time is it? It's 2:30. Let's get the news now. Here's Chris Blakemore.
Thank you, Ian. Malala Yousafzai, the Pakistani teenager who campaigns for girls' rights to education, has been awarded this year's Nobel Peace Prize. At 17, she's the youngest ever winner of the prize and is now based in Birmingham after being shot by the Taliban in her home country. A retired teacher who taught at a school in Chelmsley Wood has appeared in court charged with a number of sexual offences against teenage boys. 75-year-old John Patton, who taught at Kingshurst School, is charged with the offences which allegedly allegedly happened in the 80s when the two former pupils were 15. He's due back in court next January. The World Health Organization says it expects to see another 10,000 cases of Ebola, despite what it describes as the tremendous escalation of international support in recent weeks. A spokesman said there were only about a quarter of the beds needed for patients in the three worst affected countries, Guinea, Sierra Leone and Liberia. And the company that supplies most of our water in the West Midlands wants to cut 500 office jobs. Severn Trent, which employs 6,000 people across the UK, says it's making the changes because of internal restructuring. And the weather then, plenty of sunny spells during the rest of the day. There will also be a few heavy and perhaps thundery showers, highs 16 Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit. Showers dying away tonight, quite chilly tonight though, and tomorrow a mixture of sunny spells and showers with highs for Saturday, 15 Celsius, 59 Fahrenheit.
The voice
of Birmingham and the Black Country, BBC WM 95.6.
Name me one British celebrity more successful than Jeremy Clarkson. Name me one. Right, the Queen don't count. Who else is there? I can't think of any. I mean, that guy is Mr. Television. Now, cards on the table, as I said earlier to one of our guests, I'm not that big a fan of Top Gear. I'm not necessarily a fan of all the jingoistic stuff that he does, but that just shows how good he is. You cannot deny the man's brilliance. He's brilliant because we're talking about him now. He's brilliant because former pop star Damon Albarn, playing a small gig in Argentina, because that's the only place he can sell tickets these days, was talking about him on stage, knowing he'd get in the Daily Mirror page 7. He knew that. He's trying to jump onto Clarkson's coattails. So I put it to you, dear listener, Jeremy Clarkson is the greatest British gentleman alive. Name me one gentleman who's better than Jeremy Clarkson. You can't do it. You can't... Paul McCartney. Don't be so ridiculous. Mick Jagger. I don't think so. 03453-00-9956. Jeremy Clarkson is a genius. Discuss. We've had a few people who didn't like him because of something he may have said about Birmingham. Well, OK, what did he say? I don't know, I don't read him. Well, hang on a minute. You can't slag someone off because you don't like them, but you don't know what they've said. And then we had a fella... Who came on and said, I don't like Clarkson. He goes around the world abusing people and being rude. He saw Jeremy Clarkson at a driving event. What did he do? He went up to him and told him he was an idiot. At least Clarkson is more subtle than that. 03453 00956. I've got some texts here. Chris says, Ian, John from Sheldon should get a sense of humour. Considering he's always going on about Ken Dodd, you would think he would have one. Is he always phoning up about Ken Dodd? Jane in Heddensford says, Jezza is the best thing since sliced bread. We love him and he's harmless. Great programme, very entertaining. Oh, Jack says, lots of people are geniuses at what they do. Hitler, Capone, Saddam, to name a few. Well, come on, Jack. I'm not allowing you to compare Jeremy Clarkson to Adolf Hitler. Chris says, Ian, stop it. I'm trying to get over my hip-hop. And I can't stop laughing. I'm assuming that he means a hip operation and not a recent hip-hop pop concert. And Holly says, Clarkson, a true English genius. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Mohammed's in Spark Hill. Afternoon, Mohammed.
Afternoon, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Jeremy Clarkson's a genius, isn't he?
Brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant.
Tell me why.
He's conquered the TV, right?
Yeah.
And I think he'd be brilliant for president. And I think your co-host... presenter during the morning show, Danny Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Vice President.
You want Danny Kelly as Vice President?
Yes, mate. Both of them, hilarious, brilliant people.
Yeah.
Proud to be British, mate.
OK. That's good that you got the where am I going to be in this new parliament that we're starting, Mohammed?
No idea, mate.
Oh, flipping it. You don't sound that bothered about me. But he's good, isn't he? The thing about Clarkson is he knows how to play the game. He takes it just... And sometimes he crosses the line. Sometimes he crosses the line. But we have to allow geniuses and artists to do that, don't we?
Exactly. But what's the point of holding him back?
I think too much. The BBC in particular, but the whole of British society in the last... five, six, 7 years, has lost its bottle, has lost its nerve. And we're all biting our tongue and we all don't want to say stuff that people might be upset by. And, oh, we don't want to do anything. We want to play. We all want to be Dermot O'Leary and Lauren Laverne. And by that, I mean straight down the middle and a little bit bland.
Would you prefer Top Gear being like Fifth Gear? Boring.
Yeah. Mohammed, listen. Mohammed, where's the best place you've had a wee-wee?
In the shower.
Yeah. If you do it in the shower, there's a serious point to this. It's not just me being flippant and childish. Well, if you do your first wee in the morning in the shower, we could save the planet.
We could, but I don't know. Nothing the rest of the family knows about that yet.
Yeah. Well, Mohammed, thank you. Ranjit's on the line.
Hi, mate, you're right.
Yeah, Mohammed's just outed himself now.
OK.
What do you want to whinge about?
No, I'm not going to whinge. I'm going to say to you, controversy, right, sells. And that's what Jeremy Clarkson's agent tells him to be.
To be what?
Controversial.
Right.
Yeah, it's like when you try to be controversial on the radio, yeah?
Never try to be controversial, mate. I just come on and be honest.
And you end up on the ropes, you end up on the floor.
Mate, I never try to be controversial. I just come on here and speak my opinion. If you find that controversial, then, you know, there's something wrong with you, Ranj.
You try and wind people up, yeah?
No, I don't.
No, yes, you do.
No, I don't, mate. I come on and I talk about what I believe in. Right. If that winds you up, then you've got a problem with common sense.
No, but you don't listen to the other person's opinion, like all the people that's been on today.
Well, I always listen.
I've agreed with you. Right, listen, I'm not saying you've got a bad show. I think you've got a brilliant show. That's why I'm following.
You're right.
You.
But I do listen. But if people aren't right...
You're not listening to me now this time.
Well, because you talk rubbish. No. If people aren't right, then I'll tell them they're not right.
OK, you know... OK, Jeremy Clarkson, yeah, he's agent, right? He's the man that's a genius, right? And then he's just another puppet, yeah?
A puppet. Clarkson is a puppet. Clarkson ain't nobody's puppet. Yeah. He's not sooty. He's not one of the Muppets.
Listen, what happens, right, the agent is the one that gets him the gigs, yeah?
Yeah.
And gets him the programmes, and then they add a bit of controversy, yeah?
The thing is, someone like Clarkson doesn't need an agent because people will be phoning him up. All his agent will have to do, same for mine, is saying no to people. His agent will be turning people down. That's all he's got to do.
It's like that other fella that phoned up and says he went up and told him he's an idiot.
Awful.
Yeah?
So rude.
Now, that was wrong in my opinion.
So rude.
Now, that was so rude. So what would have happened, right, if Jeremy Clarkson had punched him one, right?
Well, Jeremy wouldn't do it. He's a gentleman.
No, hang on. Everybody's got a biting point, yeah? And then what happens is you're there. Say if I was Jeremy Clarkson, I'd want to punch him.
You'd want to punch Jeremy Clarkson?
No.
Why do you, Ranjit? Ranjit, this is really not what I expect from you. You want to beat up a British television celebrity, mate?
Again, you're not listening to what I said.
You're not being very clear.
If I was Jeremy Clarkson, and someone come up to me and says, point blank, you're an idiot, right. Yeah? I would get angry. He could say to me, I don't like the way you do your show or whatever.
Yeah.
Positive criticism is one thing and being damn right rude is another. And now you're not listening to me again. I said if I was Jeremy Clarkson, I would want to put one on that other bloke.
What if I came up to... What if you were Ranjit...
Yeah.
...and I came up to you...
Yeah.
...and I said, Ranjit, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Would you want to give me one?
I'd ask you why. I'd ask you why. Why do you think I'm an idiot?
Because everything you say is rubbish and you're not very good at arguing.
Wait, hang on. I'll tell you what. I offer you... You know, every caller that you get now today, yeah?
Yeah.
Ask them, who do they agree with? Me or you?
No, because you don't... Listen, you don't want to play that game because people will start phoning up saying, get you off. Listen, who would you rather watch on television, all right?
Yeah.
Jeremy Clarkson. Hey, he's exciting. He's saying controversial stuff. I don't like everything he says. Or Dermot O'Leary.
No, I watch Top Gear.
Here we go, fella.
I've said...
I'm listening, Ranjit.
I said he's controversial and
the will to live.
He's like them. Remember them two comedians that took
the Chuckle Brothers.
No, the Fawlty. You know the ones.
Cannon and Ball.
No,
Cannon and Wise.
Fawlty Towers, yeah.
Yeah, no Fawlty Towers.
That bloke, that Andrew Sachs, yeah. They were taking the Mickey out of him.
Bernie Winters and Schnorbitz.
No. Now, see, you've been silly again.
Yeah, Ranjit, where's
how you end up on the ropes, mate?
Ranjit, where's the best place you've had a wee wee?
In the sea, warms up your cockles, mate.
Oh, dear. Oh, gosh. 03453-009956. At first I was afraid, I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong. And I learned how to get along. And so you're back. afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. In the next hour of the show, although if the conversation drifts that way, then you can give us a call about it. There is, I've tweeted, at Ian Lee, a great story that was online of a fella on an aeroplane. He sneezes and he went, "Oh, excuse me, I think I've got Ebola." Didn't go down very well, that gag. The plane landed, no one was allowed to leave the aeroplane, and four people in the full-on, you know the suits they have at the end of E.T. when they're chasing him, the FBI dudes, the kind of the beekeeper suits, they had that. And the bloke's going, "I was only joking, it was a joke, I've not really got Ebola." They took him into isolation and did loads of tests on him. Now, kind of knee-jerk reaction. I thought that was funny. Now, I know Ebola is awful, and please don't think for one second I'm in any way making light of what is an absolutely awful situation. Awful. But there's something about that that kind of tickles me. I don't know what. Is it the inappropriateness? Is it the location? Was he wrong to make that joke about Ebola? Can you ever make jokes on aeroplanes? And when have you told an inappropriate joke? 03453 009956.
Heartlands Hospital is repeating its warning not to use its A&E department unless it's an emergency.
We're completely full, completely crowded. We've got an alert coming in to a rhesus room where we've had to move somebody who probably was moving out a bit too soon to accommodate the new one.
Pete Morgan at breakfast.
Stylian Petrov's back playing Sunday football.
He is, fantastic.
But he's fit enough to be playing for Wichel Wanderers over 35s.
And I believe he actually put one away on Sunday.
He scored on Sunday.
He did, which is fantastic.
What a side, this Wichel Wanderers, I think.
I'll tell you now.
I think we ought to go and watch.
I think we should.
Pete Morgan at breakfast.
Monday to Friday, 6 till 9.
What a wonderful way to start the day. Good morning, hello, welcome.
BBC WM 95.6.
Hey, Patrick, that Jeremy Clarkson, he's a genius, isn't he?
I think Jeremy Clarkson is like people you hate in soaps. He's there to give you controversy. He's there to give his opinion. He don't care about your opinion. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I like about him. He's pretty much his own man.
Do you know what? He's the pantomime villain, isn't he?
Yeah.
When Captain Hook comes out and we all start booing and boo,
we don't see him.
It's Clarkson. That's who we go to see. We go to see Captain Hook. We don't go to see Peter Pan. We go and see Captain Hook. We go to see Jeremy Clarkson. You've got it spot on, Patrick.
Definitely. I like him.
Argument over.
Yep.
Well, we'll finish the show here, I think.
And the best place I've ever had a week.
Yep.
The Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas.
Oh, mate. Tell me about that. Sounds luxurious.
I'll tell you what. I could have moved into the queue because, honestly, black and gold. I was that impressed with them. This is going to sound really sad. That impressed. I took a photo.
Oh, mate, no.
Yes,
is not sad. And this opens up a new vein of phone calls. Have you ever taken a photo of a toilet? Well, 03453 009956. I bet it was amazing, wasn't it?
Yep.
Patrick, you're a good sport. Thank you very much indeed. 03453 009956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Milos is in Erdington.
Hello. How are you doing?
Ever taken a photo of a toilet, Milos?
No.
Okay, just asking. No, don't be offended. What would you like to say, boss?
Well, about the Clarkson, about the guy that was talking earlier on that he's an idiot, yeah?
Yeah.
I think the guy is missing the point. I think Clarkson plays idiot well.
Yeah, here we go.
But I think, like you, he's brilliant in basically all he's doing. Yes, he's sometimes offending. For example, I'm Polish, and he was saying a few words about Polish people. Yeah? But, you know, this is entertainment program. So what do you expect, basically, from him? If you're watching it, it's like you agreeing to basically all the jokes that are going to be in a program. You don't like it. You don't watch, basically.
And the thing is, as well, I'm not necessarily I don't watch Top Gear. I just think he's very clever at what he does. We've established he's the pantomime villain. And there are all these people saying he's racist. He's not racist. He might be a little bit jingoistic at times. He's not racist, his humour, is it?
I will tell you one thing.
Yeah, go
on. I spoke to a few Polish people that work at the National Exhibition Centre in Birmingham.
Yep.
And they actually spoke with Top Gear teams. And they actually said that the best of them was Clarkson and the idiot was Hammond.
That doesn't surprise me. Out of the three of them, yes.
Yep. Basically, they said, yeah, he was right bloke, chatting to everyone, respecting everyone, no matter what they did, from like cleaners to all the staff, yeah. And Hammond behaved like he owns everyone, basically.
You know what, Milos? I think you've been. Where on earth are you, man?
Asda.
Since when did Asda start sounding like a train station?
Well, they've got some announcements now. I'd never listen to them anyway, but, you know.
Milos, where's the best place you've ever had a wee-wee?
Well, let me have a think.
Okay.
In the middle of the road.
What? Why would you do it in the middle of the road, man? That's disgusting.
I was young, stupid, and it was the middle of the night.
Well, in that case, Milos, well, I'm afraid we're going to have to say goodbye, because that's outrageous. 03453-00956. We've got it, haven't we? Those last two callers have stumbled on it perfectly. What I've been trying to encapsulate in my head, they've put it out there for us. Jeremy Clarkson is the pantomime villain. When we go to the pantomime, sure, we want to see the Chuckle Brothers, or we want to see Basil Brush, but really, we're going there to watch the bad guy. We're going there to watch Ebenezer or Captain Hook. We're not going there to watch Buttons or Widow Twankey. We're going there so we can shout and boo at the bad guy. But we come out and go, flipping that Captain Hook was good, wasn't he? Hey, did a good job. Well, that's what Jeremy Clarkson is. He's Captain Hook. Those guys were mental as anything. No, literally. Terry's in Perry Bar. Terry, I bet you're phoning up to agree with me that Jeremy Clarkson is the finest living English gentleman and we should all parade him around on our shoulders and hail him as the new Messiah.
Do me a favour, he's a complete prat. If he was to do panto, he'd be an ugly sister, a damn dame. He wouldn't need any slap.
No, we're attacking people for their looks now, are we?
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to start off at low level, we can certainly do that. Let's see if we can raise it through the conversation. Apart from the fact you think he's ugly, what else don't you like about him?
He's arrogant. He thinks he's so full of himself.
Well, hang on a minute. How much money have you got?
Me? At the moment, and very little.
Right. He's a multi-millionaire. He's world famous. Of course he's going to be arrogant. In fact, it's not arrogance, because it's actually true. He knows that he's a rich millionaire celebrity.
Yeah, and he rubs everybody's noses in it.
He's not rubbed my nose in it.
Well, I'd love to smack him on the nose.
Oh, here we go.
Sorry.
We've had someone who's gone up to him and said he was an idiot, and now you want to beat him up because he's ugly. Is that what we've come to at BBC WM 95.6? Listeners want to hit ugly people.
Did somebody mention Ken Dodd earlier on?
Yes.
That man is a genius.
Oh, for goodness
sake. He is a genius. Now, come on, I've met him personally and worked with him, so...
He's quite ugly. Do you not want to hit him in the face?
No, because he's funny and he's a gentleman. He's a very nice person.
Have you ever met Jeremy Clarkson?
I wouldn't want to meet Jeremy... I'm gone. My flatmate's here and he likes Jeremy Clark. Do you want to talk to him?
Yes, I'd rather talk to him than you, Terry.
They are, because I don't like him. Hello.
Hello, who's this?
It's Chris.
Do you share a flat with Terry?
I do.
I'm so sorry for you, mate.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
What's his problem? He wants to smack Jeremy Clarkson in the face because he's ugly?
No, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like a lot of people. He's just an old queen.
I can tell from that cackle. I don't know if we can say old queens anymore, can we? Yeah, probably. He sounds like a right miserable... Oh, for goodness sakes.
Terry, will you shut up? I can't hear him.
Yes. Shut up, Terry. You can't hear me, for goodness sakes. Jeremy Clarkson... what a strange laugh he's got.
Don't I know.
Yes. Jeremy Clarkson is one of Britain's greatest talents, isn't he?
Well, I think so.
What are you and Terry planning on doing for the rest of the afternoon? Just listening to the radio and arguing?
Well, he listens to the radio. I just stay out the bloody way.
Yeah, Terry, thank you very much indeed. Terry's flatmate there. I don't think... Terry is one of the more miserable, one of the more doer callers. I've never heard him cackle like that. All of being called an old queen. I'll remind me next time he comes on, Joe, and I'll see if it has the same effect when I say it to him. Simon's in King's Winford. Good morning, Simon. Afternoon.
No, it's always morning. You live longer.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed. I'll have two of those. What you got for us?
Well, you're needed at your age, mate.
What? Hang on a second.
No, this bloke who sneezed on the plane.
The fella sneezes on an aeroplane. He goes, oh, excuse me, I've got Ebola. He was escorted off by four people in protective suits.
Yeah, right. Well, all they was doing, mate, they was just delaying him, teaching him a lesson. They're going to escort him off. They're going to give him the old, the clean-down routine and all this, just because, you know, me and you find it funny, yeah, it's a bit of a laugh, you know, but it's a serious subject. But I think what they was doing, that never in a million years thought he had it. They probably just took him away, kept him an hour and a half, you know, just to delay him a bit for being stupid.
Because if they'd have thought he had it, they would have to kept everybody on that plane in isolation for 3 weeks.
Well, exactly. So that's what they was doing, because he was, you know, he was just being a bit of a prat, like having a laugh. They thought, right, we'll teach a bloke a lesson. We'll delay him for a couple of hours.
03453 00956. Your thoughts on this? Is it possible to make jokes about Ebola, something that's killing thousands of people, Simon?
Sorry.
Hello.
It is. I suppose. I mean, it's not really in good taste, but you know. You had a chuckle at it, you know what I mean? I raised a bit of a smile myself when I heard it. But it's just one of them, you know, people do, don't they? There's been jokes made about a lot worse, haven't there, you know?
Well, I remember I remember Princess Diana jokes immediately the news broke. I remember 9/11 jokes going around. And it's part of what we do as humans, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. It's part of the makeup of us, yeah.
Simon, thank you very much indeed. And I'm not saying I condone it or anything, but it's. I suppose we could have some slightly pretentious psychological argument. We do it to protect ourselves and to help ourselves get through traumatic times. I'm not feeling particularly traumatised about Ebola. I have sympathy for those people who are dying, and I hope, pray to God, it doesn't come over here. But fella, He's on an aeroplane. He sneezes. Very loudly, he says, "Oh, excuse me, I think I've got Ebola." I find that... OK, cards on the table. I find that funny. Am I out of order? 03453 00956. Let's get the travel news now. Here's Adam Crowther.
Really busy on the M6 northbound, junction 7 at Great Bar to 8 at the M5 link. We're getting word that lane 3 is blocked due to an accident. Thanks to Neil for the update on that. And it's very busy on the M5 north from junction 2 at Oldbury, stop start up towards the M6 link. Also slowing on the northbound side of the M42 from junction 3 at Redditch up to 4 at Shirley and Dorridge past the M40 link. Cradley Heath Forge lane is slow where there's works near the Newpool Road junction, and Dudley Town Centre High Street closed near to Union Street and Stone Street near to Barclays Bank as a result of a burst water main being dealt with. To update me, 0845 300 2288.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
It's 3 o'clock exactly. We'll be talking about Ebola Man and having a wee-wee as well, I know. But before that, let's get the news. Here's Chris Blakemore.
Thank you, Ian. And Malala Yousafzai, the Pakistani teenager who campaigns for girls' rights to education, has been awarded this year's Nobel Peace Prize. At 17, she's the youngest ever winner of the prestigious award and is now based in Birmingham after being shot by the Taliban in her home country. This girl, Iman, is from a school in Islamabad.
I'm so happy for her. I mean, she's won the prize and I'm so very proud of her. I mean, whenever I watch her on television, I always want to be her, like her. I always think of what happened to her, like terrorist attack, and they wanted to end her mission, but that didn't happen.
And we'll be hearing live from Malala in Birmingham during Drive Time with Richard Wilford here on BBC WM later on this afternoon. Now, Birmingham MPs got to pay more than £13,000 after losing a court case about garden waste in the city. John Hemming took the council to court over the amount of garden waste being dumped after the council introduced a charge for collecting it. The judge ruled in the council's favour and the Liberal Democrat MP for Yardley has been ordered to pay costs. The council says it's made every effort to deal with the issue of dumped green waste during the first year of its new chargeable service. The inquest into the death of the schoolgirl, Alice Gross, has been opened and adjourned in West London today. The 14-year-old's body was found weighed down in a river more than a month after she went missing in August. The UK Independence Party has made history by winning its first ever parliamentary seat in Westminster. UKIP won the Clacton by-election in Essex, pushing the Conservatives into second place. The party also came close to beating Labour in a second by-election. That was in Heywood and Middleton in Greater Manchester. Labour leader Ed Miliband says he's happy, but he's not taking anything for granted.
What we saw last night was a Tory party losing in their own backyard in Clacton and in retreat on what used to be their front line in the North West. But there won't be a shred of complacency from us as we reach out to all of those voters who didn't vote Labour and those who didn't vote at all.
The World Health Organization says it expects to see another 10,000 cases of Ebola, despite what it describes as the tremendous escalation of international supports in recent weeks. A spokesman said there were only about a quarter of the beds needed for patients in the three worst affected countries, Guinea, Sierra Leone and Liberia. And the company that supplies most of our water here in the West Midlands wants to cut 500 office jobs. Severn Trent, which employs 6,000 people across the UK, says it's making the changes because of internal restructuring. And water industry expert Elaine Coles says she's also surprised the firm's going down this route.
Probably comes as quite a surprise to people in the industry. I watch the UK water sector a lot. I certainly hadn't heard any information about this on the radar.
And the weather, plenty of sunny spells during the rest of the day, but there will also be a few heavy and perhaps thundery showers. Highs 16 Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit. Showers dying away tonight, quite chilly though, with lows of 4 Celsius, 39 Fahrenheit. Tomorrow will be a mixture of sunny spells and showers. Sunday, dry with sunny spells. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
You lot are good. You lot are good. I tell you what, I said, ever taken a picture of a toilet? Anonymous has texted in, Ian, here's a picture of a toilet from Glastonbury this year. And it's a picture of a toilet. You've got to respect that. I asked for it. And you gave it. This morning... I'll get it right one day. That doesn't matter, does it? Yeah, let's stick with that. This morning, we're talking about Jeremy Clarkson. He's a genius, isn't he? He's the pantomime villain. He's the man we all love to hate. We all need somebody to hate. Otherwise, we'd be running around hating each other. That's not bad, is it? That sounds quite good, that. I like that. We're also asking the best place you've had a wee. Apparently, if we all did our first wee of the day in the shower, we'd save the world. That's the shower and not the bath. Let me just read some of these texts, then we'll talk about this gentleman, the Ebola man, I'm calling him. Ian, I think Ranjit should co-present the show with you for an hour. Matt, are you nuts? Flipping heck. I don't think Ranj could take it. Jay and Dudley says, Ian, I think you're great, but sometimes you can be in an annoying gentleman's area. Oh. Vince says, you mean the Queen doesn't count, not don't count. I don't get it, Vince. Ian, I would like to thank the people of Overton on the Welsh border for being the only public toilet open on my journey to Wales, as I don't like motorways. There's clean, there's a picnic table in the car park, and a lovely village shop. So well done to the town council. And Clarkson's an idiot. All right, Audrey. How much is Jeremy paying you to be his cheerleader, mate? Says Kev. Well, Kev, you've spelt Jeremy wrong. I've never seen it written with a G before. And Jeremy Clarkson comes across as an antagonistic, grumpy old man. Not funny at all. A comedy genius is Billy Connolly. My kids watch Top Gear and laugh at some of the incidents and jokes in the show, however they're 12 and 15. What's wrong with 12 and 15-year-olds finding something funny, guys? On the subject of planes, it's never appropriate to make jokes about terrorism, drugs, firearms, weapons or contagious illnesses. Well, you say that. Let me tell you why we're talking about this. This is on the Daily Mail website. But still, it's worth looking at. Medical team in full body suits board US plane in Dominican Republic after passenger sneezed and yelled, I have Ebola, as a joke. Honestly, I think that's quite funny. I don't think Ebola's funny. I don't think what is happening in West Africa is funny. I don't think what's happening now in parts of Europe, very small parts of Europe, one person in Spain, I think one person here too, is funny. I do think what this guy did is funny, and it's the kind of thing I can imagine me doing. The American passenger who does not... Oh, hang on, let's read the story from the start. Where is it? I need to click on it. These newspaper websites are so slow, aren't they? What not to say on a plane. American passenger bundled off US to Dominican Republic flight by hazmat team after sneezing and joking, I have Ebola. A hazmat team. Now, that hazmat team is those guys that are in the kind of the plastic bodysuits and the helmets and things. A hazmat team rushed onto a plane from Philadelphia in the Dominican Republic after a man sneezed and yelled, I have Ebola! The American passenger, who does not have Ebola, was detained by four officers and taken to the airport's medical centre in, let me say this carefully, Punta Cana, as he declared, I ain't from Africa! The remaining 255 people were forced to stay on board for 2 hours until he was cleared, despite airline staff insisting they believe it was a poor-taste joke. The videos online is brilliant. It's quite funny, I think. 03453 009956. And fair play, if I'd been one of those passengers stuck on there for 2 hours, I'd be grumpy and I'd be grumbling. But when I finally got to my hotel or to meet my friends or family, I go, do you know what? Fair play. Fair play to that guy. That was funny. That was funny. So, I would, Producer Joe. I'd be angry on the plane, yeah. But once I got off, once I'd had a Pepsi Cola, once I put my foot up and had my foot, well, and the other one, and I'd have thought it was all right. The video is on the Daily Mail website. Now, a few things. Is this funny what he did? I think it is. I think it is quite funny. 03453 009956. Is it inappropriate to make those kind of jokes on aeroplanes? I would have whispered it to my wife. I think I've got Ebola. I wouldn't have said it out loud so that everyone could. I wouldn't have shouted it. But whenever I'm with my wife and we're going through an airport and we're going through, she won't go through the security bit with me, the security checks. Because every time I'm with her, I go, where have you hidden the drugs this time? And I say it just a little bit too loud to make her very uncomfortable. Now, it's not the best joke in the world. It annoys her mercilessly. That's why I like it. 03453 009956. And inappropriate jokes that you've made. We all do it. We all do it. Jokes were being passed around on September the 11th. Jokes were being passed around minutes after Princess Diana died. And we all go, oh, it's awful. It's terrible. But have you seen this one? We all do it, don't we? 03453 009956. Is there anything wrong with an inappropriate joke when it relates to people dying? Princess Diana, one person. 9/11, several thousand. Ebola, several thousand. I mean, you say it out loud and it sounds awful, doesn't it? But doesn't it kind of... Isn't it what we need to do as human beings to release the tension? 03453 009956, please. Your take on inappropriate jokes and can Ebola ever be funny? Weird. So I asked jokingly, if you've taken pictures of toilets, send them in. Well, Pete in Sparkbrook has sent in a picture of some urinals. I hate people who say urinals. Some urinals from some toilets in Amsterdam. Wonderful. John's on the line. Good afternoon, John.
I do. How are you?
I'm all right, fella. You've called in to talk about having a wee.
Yeah, well, wee-wee, as you said, wee-wee.
Where have you had a wee-wee?
Yeah, well, I was at the cruise station coming from Blackpool.
Oh, yeah.
We had a weekend in Blackpool. And I was looking around, I was gagging for a wee-wee. And all I could see was this China bloke sitting down on a bench. I said, now, where the toilets at? He looked at me, gone out. I says, toilets, piddle, slash. I reeled them all off. And I went, wee-wee. And he gave me such a stare.
Oh.
I went, oh, I'm off. I walked away. And he come over to me.
Yeah.
And he was about 6'4". I never seen a Chinaman so tall. He was massive. And my friend walked off to see the security guards.
Oh.
And I was watching him. And he went to me, he goes, oh, you disrespect me.
Well, you're doing the accent, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, no, oh. I was just having a joke. And I went to the toilet and tried to explain. All I said was, toilet, wee-wee. He goes, you disrespect me again.
The
security had to rush in like that. I was good. So what's the matter with it? I'd love to know what it means in Chinese.
We have a very, very big Chinese listenership to BBC WM 95.6. If there are any Chinese out there listening this afternoon, what the heck does wee-wee mean? And why would a very tall Chinese man take offence at that?
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
I've never found out. I've never asked a Chinese man what it meant because it punched me eyes out.
03453 009956. If you're a Chinese man, what does wee-wee mean? I'm tempted to tell the story, John, and I don't know if I can. I'm tempted to tell the story of... I quite often get caught short in the car, right?
Yeah.
And I was stuck in such bad traffic, OK? It just wasn't moving. What's that alarm in the background?
Oh, that's in the factory.
You are?
That's where I work.
Oh, OK. I was stuck in the car, right, in really bad traffic, and I was desperate. You know when you're sweating and your stomach's... I had to loosen my belt and everything, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not going to make this. I'm not going to make it. Now, I had a big bottle of water with me that was half full, right? So what I did, insanely, instead of pouring the bottle out of the window, I drank the bottle of water to make it empty, right? So I got more pressure on my bladder, and... I've got to phrase this so carefully because there'll be kids coming home from school. I put my coat over my lap, right? I'm sat in the driver's seat. I put my coat over the lap. I undid my fly. I got the bottle. Can you see where this is going? Or do I need to carry on or can I stop here?
Is that when the traffic started moving?
Well, this is it. I got... Basically, I was primed, ready to go in the bottle... And luckily, by the grace of God, an angel was sent down. I saw a break in the traffic. I managed to pull over to the side of the road and get out and go and do it at a bus stop. But I was so... Oh, it was awful, John. It was awful. I was hallucinating. I was in so much pain.
I know how you feel.
But it's got to be said, that, and I'm sorry to bring it down to lavatorial levels, but hey, that wee, when you're in that position, when you're sweating, you're feeling ill, isn't it? There's no feeling like it. Marvellous.
On Inside Out.
I thought it was an old person's disease. I don't think I'm old.
The shocking findings of the first official dementia care inspection.
90% of the places that we looked at, there was some variation in care that was not as good as it should have been.
And we ask, what's it like living with dementia?
12 months ago, I asked, please God, could I have at least 12 months with Robbie? Now I'm looking for another 12 months.
That's all on Inside Out. Monday, 7:30 on BBC One.
We've been asking for you to send in pictures of toilets. I don't remember why, but Pete in Sparborough did. Afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon.
What happened?
I went for a wee.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I was in Schiphol Airport, Amsterdam. Yep. Got off the plane, went and did what people normally do, and there's this little fly painted on the urinals.
I've seen these in this country. It's to give you something to aim at,
that's
isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is going back a bit, so I think it's moved over here since.
Yeah.
But, I had to go out and get the camera and come back in again.
Oh, so you went out and got a camera?
Mm.
You went out and did it? Oh, that's fantastic. You were a man on a mission.
Yeah, we couldn't miss... Well, couldn't miss that, if you pardon the
pun, did it? My boys are 4.5 and 2.5. They get so excited when they see a urinal. They love it. I can't remember ever getting excited by urinals. Hey, and here's the thing. We were looking to get our bathroom done a couple of years ago, Pete. So we're looking at all these boring bathroom brochures and bathroom shops. And we're in a bathroom shop, right? And we're walking around and there's a toilet and there's a bidet. I can't believe people in 2014 still use a bidet. It's disgusting. And there was a urinal, like a really posh urinal. And I said, what is that for pubs and stuff? They went, oh, no. Some people have them installed in their homes.
Mm, I do now.
I can't... Isn't that weird?
Well, you can have a him and hers, can't you?
Hang on, I said it on, Pete. They have urinals in their home bathrooms. That's the weirdest thing. Can I just say, breaking news, I think it's important we mention this, no charges for Paul Gambaccini. This is from the BBC website. Just go off on a very slight tangent for 1 second. BBC broadcaster Paul Gambaccini will not face action over alleged historical sex offences. He was arrested in October last year. Blimey, we might talk about that tomorrow, Joe. He's had that hanging over him for a year. He's not worked for a year, and now there'll be no further action taken. Paul Gambaccini, no charges. Might mention that tomorrow on the show and have a little chat about that. 03-453-00956. I know people are upset that we're talking about Lewes and, isn't he being... There is actually a genuine reason we're talking about it. I'll explain why in a second. Okay, I will explain why in a second. But there is a genuine reason that we're talking about it. It's actually quite important. So make sure that you listen.
Yeah.
afternoon. This is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. More on toilets. I know, very, very lowbrow. Very, very lowbrow. Before that, I love this story. I love this story. A man was escorted off a plane by officers in full protective suits after he repeatedly sneezed and then shouted, "I have Ebola." That kind of appeals to me. I wouldn't have shouted it. I'd have said to my wife, "Oh, I've got a bit of Ebola. Oh, I've got a bit of Ebola today." The American passenger was flying from Philadelphia to the Dominican Republic and was forced to leave the plane, while the remaining 255 passengers were made to stay on board for 2 hours. Not the best time to make a joke. Well, can you make jokes about Ebola? Can you make jokes on planes? 03453 00956. We can get have a chat with comedian Harriet Dyer. Afternoon, Harriet.
Hello, you're all
right? Yeah, how are you doing? You're all right?
Yes, fine and dandy, thank you.
I'm pretty dandy as well. Now, listen, this fella sneezing loudly and then shouting, "I have Ebola," on an aeroplane. Funny or not funny?
I think it's funny, but you've got to judge stuff like that, and it's probably not the best place to make jokes like that. On planes. I remember years ago when there was like an anthrax problem, I made a joke at an airport, and luckily none of the staff heard me, but I was on like a college trip and the teachers and that went mental at me, and you were allowed 3 warnings on the trip and then you had to go back home, and I got my first warning before I'd even gone back.
Hey, that's brilliant. Whenever I go through security, my wife won't go through security now because I'll always lean over and go, "Where have you stashed the guns, love?" And she's like, "Oh, will you stop it?" And I always just say it a little bit too loud. And there's something exciting about doing a naughty joke in an inappropriate place, isn't there?
Exactly. But I guess it's just protocol that they have to just, even though they probably thought, "Oh, he's just having a laugh," but they just have to follow it up, I guess, just to be on the safe side.
Whenever there is a major incident, jokes go around. I remember immediately after Princess Diana died, the texts were coming through. 9/11, the texts were coming through. Why is it, you think, that we do this, Harriet? And is there ever a time when it's completely inappropriate?
I don't know, I think it's like you said, that we just like to push boundaries. Like, I've been gigging most nights since the chat about Ebola and all that, and each bill per night will have someone chatting about it, and they'll come on, they think they're hilarious, they'll come on coughing and say, "Oh, I've got Ebola," or something like that. I've seen that a couple of times. I just think, isn't it, we just like to push boundaries. I think I still, like, even these days, people, like, at comedy nights, I hear people doing cancer jokes about, still go on about Jay Goody and stuff like that.
Blimey.
And I think I just think you've got to judge it. I would never, to be honest, do jokes about that, because I just think it's a little bit...
What, about cancer or about Jay Goody? Which one specifically?
Either, I think, no matter what people thought about her,
yeah.
I think she was a mother that died of cancer, and I just think it's so sad that she was sort of brought up in the public eye and then just destroyed again and then died. I just don't think it's funny.
Well, here's an interesting thing, and because I've not got my head around this at all, and I'm so glad I haven't done stand-up comedy for 10 years. A, I was rubbish, and B, I hated it. But it's an awful thing to do. Here's the thing: jokes about Jay Goody are verboten, okay? Because it's a mother, and we know her, and we know her face, and we know her name. But with Ebola, about 3,500 people have died. So do you know what I mean? Is that the thing? Because it's such a big number, we become desensitised to it.
Yeah, and I think, do you reckon as well, because it's not over here, is it?
So
yeah. Because it feels like it, because we've just sort of, seen it in the papers, and seen it. And the thing is as well, when it's all over the news, you never 100% know what if, for instance, this isn't the same at all, but like back at home in Cornwall, like my mum lives down there, and she's always like, "Oh, Harriet, are you like fucked away with storms and things like this?" And I'm like, "No, there's no storms." And I think the news and whatever it is, it always sort of really exaggerates anything. Obviously, that's a terrible example to do with Ebola, but do you know what I mean? So you never 100% know what actually is as bad as the news is said, and because maybe there's not an individual that we've connected to, so we're not as, do you see what I mean?
I see exactly what you mean, and you're going to get 5 extra points because you've just made up a word, exaggerizes. Of course.
Is that
No, no, it's not a real word. The real word's exaggerates, I believe. But
I think I make up probably about one.
But exaggerizes is now the adopted word of this show, Harriet. You're rewriting the language.
It really sounds like it should be a word, though, already, don't you reckon?
I don't think it is exaggerizes. I don't think it is a word, no.
Some words, though, like I always say discombobulate, and everyone says that that's not a word, and that is definitely a word.
That is totally a word.
A wonderful word as well.
I don't know how to say, you know, pastor.
You know, like a religious man,
like a vicar.
Not as in the like tagliatelle.
Well, no, that's pastor. I can say pastor. I don't know. Do you say pastor?
Pastor. Yeah, it sounds like, you know, when Keith Lemon says sector in Celebrity Juice.
Yeah,
like, pastor.
Because pastor doesn't sound right, and I would be embarrassed in a conversation to say, well, I was speaking to the local pastor. That would make me feel uncomfortable.
But do you ever need to use that word? Are you ever speaking to the local pastor?
I was in a conversation with someone the other... Boy, oh boy, we're going off on a tangent, but I love it. I was in a conversation the other day, and he was speaking about speaking to the local pastor. And I wanted to join in the conversation, but I didn't feel I could, because I would have felt uncomfortable saying pastor.
But I think now you are going to say that word more, because we've now, it's just really hilarious, because it's like two separate words, isn't it, pastor?
maybe I'm just exaggerating the whole problem. Harriet, if people want to find out more about you, where do they go?
www.harrietdyer.co.uk.
Yeah, it's down at the moment. I just had a look.
Is it?
You want to speak to your webmaster?
Oh, no. Oh, what a catastrophe.
Get it sorted out and people will go and look this evening.
Yeah, and people can also follow me on Twitter at Dialinquent.
Brilliant. Harriet, really nice to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. And we have a new word for the show. Exaggerizes isn't a word, is it, Andy?
And no, it's not. Ian.
It's not a word. It's a good made-up word, and we can do that as a phone-in as well. Words you've made up.
Well, you're very good at that, ain't you?
Well, I think it's an insult, but I'm going to take it as a compliment. That'll teach you. What have you got for us today, Andy?
Well, I have to say, I love your show. I wish it was on 5 days a week. Let's hope you are in the coming months.
You're very kind.
Like. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I haven't long been in. I put the radio on. I heard you say something about inappropriate jokes, and I could have swore I heard you say Princess... Diana, I may be wrong.
There were plenty of jokes flying around the night she died, yes.
What sort of jokes were they?
I can't know. I wouldn't dare of telling them on the radio because they'd be completely inappropriate. But they were jokes about the accident.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Did you not see them?
No.
They were good. And it's quite common, isn't it, when there is a tragedy, an horrific tragedy, for jokes to start popping up on mobile phones.
No, you've amazed me there.
Yeah, oh yeah, 9/11. Do you think that there's ever a place for jokes about those kind of things, Andy?
Well, not in death, and surely not one of the nicest, prettiest ladies ever to grace this land.
Andy,
I think she was an absolutely fantastic lady. And don't forget, not only that, what the royal family put her through, i.e. a husband, so to speak.
Oh, blimey, here we go. Andy, very quickly, because we're running out of time. What's the best place you've ever had a wee-wee? Go on.
Well, I was driving the lorry, we were frightened, going over the moors. I got one of these hatchet handbrakes and we stood up and I done one through the hole in the floor.
Andy, thank you. Let's get the travel news now. Here's Adam Crowther.
Really busy on the M6 northbound. All lanes open following an accident earlier on between junction 7 and 8 at the M5 improving, but still really busy on the M5 link northbound towards the M6 north at junction 8. The M42 southbound has a lane blocked on the exit slip off at junction 5 for the A41 at Solihull and Knowle. Traffic's looking a little busy, and northbound from junction 3 at Redditch through 3A for the M40 split up to junction 4 at Shirley and Dorridge slowing. Cradley Heath Forge lane is slow through those temporary lights as works continue just near to the bus station, and you can expect a bit of delay if you're making your way in and out of Birmingham city centre, around and about the Hagley Road and Fireways Island slow going, and Ulster Road as well, heading away from Belgrave Middleway out towards Moseley stop start. No problems on public transport, but if you can update us, call BBC WM95.6 Travel on 08453 00288.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country, BBC WM95.6.
Let's get the news now. Here's Chris Blakemore.
Thank you, Ian. The schoolgirl campaigner Malala Yousafzai has become the youngest person to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Malala, who now lives in Birmingham, was shot by the Taliban for campaigning for girls to be given better access to education. UKIP leader Nigel Farage says his party has shaken up British politics with its by-election triumph last night. UKIP gained its first elected MP by seizing Clacton from the Conservatives, and they came within 600 votes of beating Labour in its traditional stronghold of Heywood and Middleton in Greater Manchester. A Birmingham MP's got to pay more than £13,000 after losing a court case about garden waste in the city. John Hemming took the council to court over the amount of garden waste being dumped after the council introduced a charge for collecting it. The judge ruled in the council's favour, and the Liberal Democrat MP for Yardley has been ordered to pay costs. More details are to be announced this afternoon of how travellers entering the UK from countries affected by Ebola will be screened. Measures are being brought in at several airports as well as the Eurostar terminal in London. And the weather then. Plenty of sunny spells during the rest of the day, but there will also be a few heavy and maybe even thundery showers with highs of 16 Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit. Showers dying away tonight. Quite chilly though, with lows of 4 Celsius, 39 Fahrenheit. And tomorrow, Saturday, a mixture of sunny spells and showers with highs of 15 Celsius, 59 Fahrenheit.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Hey, listen, come here and listen, you little so-and-sos. I'm doing the radio for you. Good afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Producer Joe is out there awaiting your phone call now. 03453 00956. Here every Friday between, what time are we, between 2 and 4, and every Saturday between 9 and 12. One of the things we may talk about tomorrow is the news about Paul Gambaccini. Remember Paul Gambaccini, the DJ? He always popped up, didn't he, Paul Gambaccini, when a pop star died. The joke going around was that Paul Gambaccini, you know, if Paul Gambaccini knocked on your house and you were a pop star, you better look out. But he got arrested, didn't he, about a year ago, for historical sexual offences. Well, the news just out in the last 20 minutes or so is no charges. There will be no charges for Paul Gambaccini. Let me just read from the BBC website. BBC broadcaster Paul Gambaccini will not face action over alleged historical sex offences, prosecutors say. The 65-year-old DJ was held at a South London address in October last year as part of the Metropolitan Police's Operation Yew Tree. So for a year he's not been able to work, not been able to do anything. He's sort of been in hiding, really. I know he's popped up at a few events. He's not been able to do anything. Now, nothing. Let him go. I don't know what we'll talk about tomorrow, but there's definitely something there. Because there will still be people listening to this going, ah, he got away with it. Well, no, he didn't. He didn't get away with anything, because it turns out he hadn't done anything. I'm not sure. You can call in if you want to talk about that this afternoon. But isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? A year of his life has been wasted and gone down the tube. 03453 00956. What else are we talking about today? Well, we started off celebrating the magic of Jeremy Clarkson. The man is a genius. He is Britain's greatest television entertainer. He's up there with Jonathan Ross. And all these people phoning up saying, oh, I don't like him. Oh, he's horrible. Well, it's jealousy, isn't it? You're jealous. He has beautiful women fawning after him. He's got millions of more money than he could ever spend. He's known throughout the world. Now, I don't particularly like Top Gear. I'm not necessarily a fan of the jingoistic humour. But you can't deny he's brilliant. We had one fella phone up who said, oh, I hate Jeremy Clarkson. He's really rude and he's really horrible. All he does is go around the world and be rude to people. I met him once and told him he was an idiot. Well, hang on a second. Clarkson's not that blunt. He's not that rude. You've out-Clarksoned Clarkson. 03453 00956. No one has put forward a good argument as to why Jeremy Clarkson is not a genius. Someone phoned up and said he's a clown. Well, Ronald McDonald's a clown and he's a genius. He's worth billions. We're also asking, where's the best place to have a wee? There is a reason for it. We've been told, student scientists, have told us that if we have our first wee-wee of the day in the shower, we could save the planet with the amount of toilet water that we'll be saving. We could save tons and tons of water, litres of water. That's what you measure water in, isn't it? Where's the best place you have a wee? I've recently found myself doing it in underground car parks. Why? Because after a long journey, I'm so desperate that what I do is I park up against the front of the car against the wall. I pop the bonnet. I go around to the boot. I get out a bottle of window fluid. I open the bonnet. I pretend I'm putting the window fluid in. Really, I'm doing a wee-wee. Best place you've had a wee. And do you think it's disgusting to urinate in the shower? 03453 009956. And inappropriate jokes. Jokes were floating around when Princess Diana died. We don't want to hear them. Jokes were floating around on September the 11th and certainly on September the 12th, 2001. And a fella on an aeroplane has been sneezing the whole flight. Right at the end, he does a really big sneeze and shouts, "I think I've got Ebola." He got carted off by men in kind of plastic body suits, the protective suits. That's funny, isn't it? I think that's funny. And I'm surprised none of you have phoned up and disagreed with me on this. So you all seem to think that's funny. 03453 009956. You can text 81333, start your text WM. Or you can email ian.lee@bbc.co.uk. Afternoon. This is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. What a hodgepodge mixed bag of goodies we have for you today. Well, might carry some of these over tomorrow between 9 and 12. Paul Gambaccini. He was charged a year ago for sexual offences. Well, he wasn't charged, sorry, he wasn't charged. He was held. It's one of those things. He was taken in and held. And so we all went, oh, Gambo's next. Gambo's on the list. Was never charged. A year later, no charges. Everything's gone. Incredible. A year of that man's life has been wasted. And be honest, a lot of you will always think, whenever you see Paul Gambaccini, in fact, all of us will think, whenever we see Paul Gambaccini from now on, We'll think, oh, he's the fella that got arrested. He's the fella that got done. We all will. Wasn't arrested, wasn't done. But we'll all think that. That'll be the first thing we think, won't it? And isn't that terrible? 03453 00956. And the reason I'm making such a big deal on the radio is because most people won't hear this news. This won't be a front page story. Oh, Paul Gambaccini, he didn't do anything. That won't be front page. So most people at some point will think he's been arrested, he's been done, he's been charged. Just to clarify, BBC broadcaster Paul Gambaccini will not face action over alleged historical sex offences. Pete's in West Brom. Afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon, sir. Based on what you've just said, 2 points.
Yep.
Firstly, if he's not been charged or not been found guilty of anything, why has his name been lambasted through the press?
Yep.
And secondly, if his accusers have made accusations against him falsely, why can't they be done for false accusations?
And who knows what Mr. Gambaccini will choose to do, but yeah, you're right, if these accusations are false, as it would appear they are, then that's outrageous. That's an outrageous thing to claim, isn't it?
Defamation of character, surely. As you say, it's cost him a lot of money, it's cost him his personal life, his personal reputation. It's a really bad thing to do. The same with Bill Roach and with Michael Lavelle. They're both found innocent. And look at the cost to the country, the cost to the public purse, to drag those guys through court for nothing.
And the thing is, as much as I like to think of myself as an intelligent man, next time I see Paul Gambaccini on telly, first thing I think of is, oh, he got done, didn't he? And then I'll go through the process and remember he didn't. And that's going to be his shadow that follows him around for the rest of his life.
That's the truth, without any shadow of a doubt. And it's totally unfair. A guy, unless he's found guilty, his name shouldn't be through the press.
Well, now this... I've always thought that, until recently, I've always thought that people accused of sexual offences should remain anonymous until recently. The thing that swung it for me was Stuart Hall. Stuart Hall, I think there were two people that had accused him, and he got arrested on the strength of two people, I think. It was in the press, and loads more people came forward. And that is the one thing that has kind of made me... Well, I don't know what the answer is now, Pete. I'm confused.
Yeah, there are two sides to that. I can't disagree with you. But the fact remains that the guy in this country is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, yeah. Not innocent until accused of being guilty.
Pete, listen, thank you very much indeed. It's a weird thing, isn't it? And I am keen to kind of... We will talk about this on the show tomorrow, I imagine. I'm keen to talk about it because most people won't see this BBC News website page I'm looking at. I've not seen it on Twitter yet. Normally I see these things pop up on Twitter and I've not seen it yet. And it won't get the same coverage that the arrest got. I think the arrest, if it wasn't front page, it was certainly very, very high up in the newspaper agenda. It was a big news story. It wasn't one of the biggest, but it was a big news story. And you know... that we won't get the same coverage saying he's innocent and he's done nothing. 03453 00956.
The new Police and Crown Commissioner for the West Midlands, David Jameson,
said it would be right that any public organisation reflected the diversity.
I'm not having that at all. It's not that, is it? It should be the best person for the best job.
A new champion for the West Midlands.
Release of Mozambique. Humiliation for the West Midlands Police Force.
It's very unfortunate.
You've got a question now that you want to put to the Police and Crime Commissioner of what are you going to do about this?
Yeah, well, I'm very sorry that Martin is having this particular problem.
A new hero for mid-mornings.
That is your message to the victims' families. You need compelling new evidence.
The case is not closed.
Unless there's compelling new evidence.
The case is open.
Danny Kelly, weekdays from 9.
BBC WM
95.6.
I just have to say, at Ian Lee on Twitter, I have just tweeted what I think is the funniest video I've ever seen. It's certainly the funniest advert for a travel agent I've ever seen. You relax, Joe, and watch it. I've only watched the first... I'm trying to do a radio show. My sister sent it to me. I've only watched the first 45 seconds. It's the funniest in-house video for a travel agent I've ever seen in my life. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Now, we've been lowering the tone terribly this afternoon by talking about wee-wee. Why? Well, there's a reason for it. We could be saving the planet by choosing our wee-wee locations a little better. Weeing in the shower. We all do it, don't we? We all do it. You've done it. Of course you have. You're not going to get out of the shower just to go and go to... No! Washes away. Well, a couple of students from the University of East Anglia want to, you to wee-wee in your morning shower in a bid to save thousands of litres of water. I'm joined by Debs Tor, who's one of the students behind the Go With The Flow campaign. Afternoon, Debs.
Good afternoon. Hiya.
What are you studying at college, then?
I study English literature.
Then why are you so obsessed with wee-wees?
It's not exactly the natural progression to go from English to weeing in the shower, but I think both Chris and I are quite passionate about the environment and trying to do what's right, really, I guess.
Now, how did you come up with this idea? What's the science behind it, Debs?
Well, we were sitting down and we're talking about it. And we're saying...
Why are we talking about it?
So Empower challenged us to come up with an environmental initiative.
Yeah.
So we're thinking, how can we get students involved? And students are quite notoriously unhygienic.
Yeah.
So we thought, at least this will be a way for students to have a shower and go for a wee at the same time. So it saves 12 litres of water every time because you've got the students... Of course, everyone can do it, which is why it's so great. So instead of flushing the toilet, you wee in the shower.
Who is this, Chris? Why do you sit around with Chris having conversations about urine?
Chris is my boyfriend, so...
I don't like the sound of this guy.
Do you not? No.
No, I don't. What's he studying?
He studies American history and politics.
Oh, blimey, I'm sorry to hear that. So this Go With The Flow campaign, it does kind of make... The thing is, most people won't admit... that they've done a wee-wee in the shower. That people like to pretend that they don't do those kind of things. And I always feel a little bit naughty when I do. But we all do it, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we found with the campaign, that lots of people are willing to get behind the campaign in principle. But when you ask them, do you wee in the shower? It's usually, not. I wouldn't admit it to you, especially because you've got holding that video camera. And...
When I was a student, showers weren't so prevalent, and we used to wee in the bath. So, boy, oh, boy, things were certainly different 25 years ago. What have the people at your college made of this?
It's certainly been split opinion. I've definitely found. Yeah. So some people would be like, oh, that's awful. I would never do that. It's disgusting. Other people think we're just joking about it and would say, that's ridiculous. Like, that's just crazy. But a fair number have turned around and said, do you know what? I wee in the shower already.
Get in there, yes.
And you know what? Finally, we're getting some recognition for it.
Yes.
So it's we, people who wee in the shower, uniting.
Yeah.
So you can let us know on our Facebook page, which is titled Go With The Flow.
Don't be ashamed of being filthy. That's the message here.
Yeah, of course.
What books are you reading at the moment in your degree?
I'm currently doing Gothic and Nervous Narratives, so it's quite enjoyable. So.
What, like Twilight and stuff?
No. So
I made myself laugh.
Dracula and Frankenstein.
Oh, the proper stuff.
Yeah, the proper stuff, yeah.
Hey, have you read Jekyll and Hyde?
I have, indeed.
Is that about being an alcoholic? He's an alcoholic, isn't he? That's the metaphor there, isn't it?
There's so many messages you can read into it. So, yeah, that's certainly... A professor would say, yeah, that's definitely a good response. That's one response to it.
Oh, one response, not the response. Hey, Debs, listen, nice to talk to you. I wish you the best of luck with this campaign
and with your
studies. Thank you very much indeed. That's Debs Tor. Go With The Flow. Come on, we all do it, don't we? We all do it. Don't be one of those, oh, no, I don't do it. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Come on, for goodness sakes, live a little. Urinate in the shower. Live a little. Listen to the new one from Gary Barlow.
Of sadness, a broken heart, and only me to blame for every single part. No science or religion could make this whole. To be loved but never loved, to have but never hold, it's a lie. Gonna take a bit of getting used to, but I know what's right for you. Fly.
bit of getting used to, but I know what's right for you. Let me go. A head full of madness, nowhere safe. When tears aren't big enough, and love turns into hate, it's a life alone and a death. Take a bit of getting used to, but I know what's right for you. Fly.
Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Oh, it's Richard Wilford is on at four, is that right? We've got Richard on at 4 o'clock, lovely.
This is gonna take a bit of getting used to, but I know what's right for you. Let me go.
I think this like every time I've worn this shirt, I've been a bit smelly. I think this shirt stinks. I think it's the shirt. I think it's the shirt, Trevor, not me.
Wash it, boy, wash it.
I'll do no such thing, sir. Hey, do you remember that song? There's a hole in my bucket, dear Liza, dear Liza. There's a hole in my bucket, dear Liza, a hole.
Yes.
Who did that song?
God knows.
No, because I remember hearing it all the time when I was a kid.
Was that Frederick and Nina and Frederick?
It was Nina and Frederick! Where the hell are Nina and Frederick? I used to love that song, even though it would go on for like 3 hours. And it was, oh, blooming. The old days were really rubbish, weren't they, actually, now I think about it?
Nah.
Nah. What have you got for us, Trevor?
Well, it's a regular occurrence in our, well, with me particularly, on if ever I want a Jimmy and I'm in the shower, I'll just let it go, whatever time of the day is, whether it's morning, evening, whatever.
You're saving the planet, Trevor.
Well, there was an old joke years ago, if you remember. Uh-oh. People used to not get use on about not getting out of the bath to have one.
Yeah, well, my boys are
about doing it in the flannel and wringing it out in the sink.
Oh dear, I'm flipping it. My boys are 4 and a half and 2 and a half, and that bath hasn't started until one of them's had a whittle in the water. And then I can't be bothered. I'm not going to get them out and clean it. I let them bathe in it. It's probably good for their skin, isn't it?
Well, according to what's that actress's name? She used to drink her own urine.
Oh no. We had I can believe it. A couple of months ago, we were talking about this.
Saturday morning, didn't you?
Well, yeah, and some women were phoning up saying that they wiped their babies' nappies on their faces to help their skin.
To give them healthy skin.
Oh, yeah. that is disgusting, isn't it?
I think that'd make me puke, actually.
Yeah. Trevor, thank you very much indeed. I want to get to Kev in King's Heath. Afternoon, Kev.
Afternoon. My missus, she used ponds. She's gone out for ponds. I said, so do ducks.
You do away in the pond?
No, she said, oh, I use ponds. The soap, is it? And I said, so do ducks.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Have you had anybody that in Birmingham that actually likes Jeremy Clarkson?
Do you know what? We've had a few. For those who missed it, top of the show, Jeremy Clarkson, he's a genius. He's being vilified again in the press. It's jealousy, Kev. It's jealousy.
No, I'll tell you what, I'm very surprised, considering what he said about our city a few years ago. I think he'd probably be more welcome in Buenos Aires than Birmingham.
Well, go on. What did he say?
I think one of the people in the studio, I could be corrected, but Birmingham, from Birmingham, and he said, oh, Birmingham. Yeah, it's like a bath, empty with a ring of scum round the edge. Lovely. How to make friends and influence people.
Oh, come on, Kev. That's a good line, isn't it?
Well, it's Yeah, but not about Brum. I mean, why not use it about where he's from then?
Kev, it's a good line, and you could use that about any town that you're in.
You don't take that personally,
do you?
Well, you know, it's not a very nice thing to say. You could have said it about, I don't know, Buenos Aires, for example.
Yeah, but then all the Buenos Aireans will be upset with Jeremy Clarkson.
That's fine, but he's from England. He is
an absolute genius, this fella. He has made millions of pounds. He's a worldwide superstar, and he's the pantomime villain. We all love to hate him.
Perhaps you're right there, actually, yes. I mean, well, he has got a Brummie working with him as well, hasn't he, the hamster? So, yeah.
You know, see, Hammond and May are the ones that I find particularly annoying.
Yes. Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
No, I think they're the... It wouldn't be anything without them two.
Oh, I think that I don't even know what May does. I'm not sure what his role is.
Listen, when he can get Hammond to carry that suitcase all the way through Asia or Italy or wherever it was, and then in the end take it off him and get his Brompton out of it after he'd lugged it all over Europe, I thought that was brilliant.
I don't watch Top Gear. I don't find that kind of humour funny, but I do appreciate that what Clarkson does, he's blooming good at doing that. He's the best at doing that, and he's made it work.
I never used to watch that programme. I've been doing those treks that they do, like across America and through Vietnam. Yeah. That's the one through Vietnam's brilliant, but I like that. I couldn't sit there and watch a programme about this car does this much in 60 seconds.
But it's not really about the cars, is it? It's about them. It's about three 15-year-old lads showing off to their mates, isn't it? Really.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on big dopey one of them who I don't particularly like, but he's all right, I suppose. I'll let him off.
Kev, where's the best place you've had a wee?
I can't tell you. It's a family show.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed. I think on that bombshell, we can walk away from the telephones. Hey, cracking calls this afternoon. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Producer Joe and I will be back tomorrow morning between 9 and 12. We might carry some of these things over. I know lots of you tried to get on and perhaps couldn't get on, so you're more than welcome to. It's not a very structured show, shall we say. You think this follows a structure? Well, you wait till you hear tomorrow's show. I'm sure one of the things we'll be talking about is Paul Gambaccini. So just have a little think on Paul Gambaccini. Can you do me a favour? I'm going to set you some homework. Can you watch the telly and listen to the radio tonight and tomorrow and just see how much mention there is of Paul Gambaccini being released with no charges pressed? Just see. Because it was big news when he got arrested a year ago. I suspect it's not going to be such a big news story tonight. Just do me a favour. Watch the news. Listen to the news tonight and tomorrow morning. And we'll talk about it between 9 and 12 and see what our collective little heads can come up with. If you want to send me a message overnight, more than welcome to. Email address ian.lee@bbc.co.uk. Richard Wilford's coming up next. But right now, let's get the travel. Here's Adam Crowther.
Well, it's been fairly busy on the M42 southbound on the exit slip at Junction 5 at Solihull and Knoll for a while. That's due to an accident that's blocking one lane. Still quite busy on the northbound M42 from Junction 9 at the M6 toll up to 10 at Tamworth, the A5, following an accident earlier on. Busy around Dudley High Street in the town centre. It's closed due to a burst water main. And starting to look quite busy for you around Sheldon on the Coventry Road around the Eagle Court Business Park as usual. No major problems to make you aware of on the Aston Expressways yet, but that's likely to get quite busy in the next half an hour or so. To update me, 08453 022288.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
A very good afternoon to you. It's Richard Wilford sitting in for Franksy on Drive Time today. We're live from Molineux as England's under-21s prepare to play against Croatia in front of...